In this fourth session in our interpersonal relationships seminar, we want to talk about another very important aspect. In interpersonal relationships, we always have to face the reality of the possibility of conflict. That is to say, a difference that comes in that relationship, a difference of opinion, a difference of concepts, a difference of philosophy, something that creates a possible tension in the relationship. Now, we're going to call that conflict. I think we need to define what we mean, because in some minds, when you think of conflict, they think of some major situation, like a conflict between two nations that leads to a war, and so forth. But in our thinking in this seminar, I want us to realize that we're thinking of conflict basically as a clash between two wills. Now, that clash can be very minor or it can be major. What I want to point out is this. Conflict is normal and necessary in relationships. I do not believe personally that a relationship can grow and develop to its full potential without encountering some conflict of one kind or another. Because we are human beings, because we come from different backgrounds, because we are different in our makeup, because we have had different kinds of experiences, when we come together and try to establish a relationship, whether that's an intimate relationship with a friend or the relationship of marriage, whenever we try to establish a meaningful interpersonal relationship between two people, there are bound to be conflicts because there are differences. And what we're talking about then is working through those differences that exist. And it's these differences that I'm referring to as conflicts. Now, those conflicts are normal, and they are even necessary to that relationship. One of the things I find in dealing with people in counseling and in just observing relationships in general is how easy and how dangerous it is to avoid conflict, to pretend it's not there, to hope it'll go away somehow by itself, to act like we don't have to do anything about that. And rather than confronting it and working through it, we try to avoid it. Now, my experience has shown me, at least in my relationship with Florine and other meaningful relationships, and as I have observed other people, my experience has shown me that whenever a conflict is not dealt with and sort of put aside, we can't forget it, we try, but eventually it will come back. And usually it will come back in an aggravated form. It will come back as a greater conflict. And so what I'm saying is, whenever we experience conflicts in relationships, let's don't feel like we're failing because there are conflicts. No, on the contrary, it means that the relationship is growing. We're facing new areas that need to be worked through, new areas for development, new areas for growth, new areas to learn to know one another more really, and to appreciate each other more definitely and more deeply. So conflict, in the sense that we're talking about it in this seminar, is a very normal and necessary part of any relationship. Now, we've said that basically a conflict then is a clash or a confrontation or a struggle between two people, two wills, my will and the will of another person. In other words, what we're saying is that it's a disagreement over some issue. Now, the danger that comes at that point is for me to say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. And that's the tendency we have. We have such strong opinions, or we feel that we have thought our way through a situation, and so we conclude that I'm right and you're wrong, and we try to convince the other person to our way of thinking. You may remember the story that we referred to in our first session from Genesis, the fourth chapter, the story of Cain and Abel. And you may remember that that was one of Cain's major problems. He felt he was right and God was wrong. He felt that, yes, I understand what you've asked for, God, but I think what I've brought you by way of an offering is just as good as what you asked for. He felt his way was just as right. And this is one of the major areas that creates conflict in relationship. When there is a disagreement over an issue, each party thinks they're right. And instead of really listening to one another, we sort of take our position and we stand looking at each other and sort of like two boxers sparring and looking for an opportunity to prove the other person's wrong. Well, we want to talk about how to deal with this kind of situation as we discuss this matter of conflict and the biblical guidelines for handling conflict. Another thing that happens in our relationships that produces conflict is what we call the blaming game, where we blame the other person. Oh, it's their fault. It's the way they did this, or if they would only do this. Now, what I've learned, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, is that whenever we're blaming somebody, or whenever we allow ourselves to get into that kind of a situation where we're blaming somebody, no one really wins. Everybody loses in that situation. I'm blaming you, you're blaming me, and neither one of us is making any progress. And you know, the Bible says something very interesting about that. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, "Only by pride comes contention." Only by pride comes contention. And in this matter of blaming, the reason I'm blaming is that I'm just reluctant to admit that I'm wrong. I guess someone was very wise when they said, the hardest words in the English language are these, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." To admit that I'm wrong, rather than blame. This is what I think it's talking about in Matthew 5:9. Matthew 5:9. Jesus was giving some very clear guidelines in what we know as the Beatitudes, and he says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." The peacemakers. The peacemakers. Those who aren't looking for someone to blame, but looking for ways to find peace in that relationship. Instead of blaming, what can we do to resolve this conflict? What can we do to get our hearts together? How can we establish peace again? You see, there's a difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. The people that say, "I don't want to make an issue of that. We'll just have difficulty. It'll be unpleasant. And I'd rather just keep the peace." You see, they're not really fulfilling their responsibility. Because my responsibility is to work toward that person with whom I have the conflict, not try to overlook it and supposedly be a peacekeeper, but rather work through that situation to a real experience of peace, to be a peacemaker. Not blaming, but just opening my life and sharing my experience and working through that conflict to a point of real peace. One of the things that keeps us from doing this, of course, is fear. Fear of exposure, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, much as we talked about in the session on disclosure and vulnerability. But whenever I'm willing to move toward you, recognizing that there is a conflict, and not blame, and not say you're wrong and I'm right, and work through that conflict, we can come to a place of real peace in our relationship.